You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Good morning. Welcome to the John and Gordy Show. The guys are off this morning, but they'll be back this afternoon from 2 to 5, and they'll be back tomorrow morning at their regular spot. You got me, though, Matt Rothschild. I'm here with producer Dom, and we've got a great show for you. We've got Deborah Kronmiller at 6:35. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. And then a little later in that half hour, Lisa Bernard at the Humane Society here in Dane County. And then, of course, 7:05, Jim Santel, the best commentator on legal affairs that I've ever heard. Civic Media is lucky to have him. And then at 7:30, we're going to shift a little bit to bird talk. We have a director of the Wings Raptor Center in Cambridge, Kathleen Dineline, joining us. And then we'll wrap up with a poem by the former Poet Laureate of the United States, Joy Harjo, a great poem about the centrality of the kitchen table around Thanksgiving and anytime, really. So it's going to be a fun show. Please join the conversation with a call or a text at 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255. Dom, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to hear Mark call in because I know he's right now, he's deer hunting, and I know he's out up on top of a tree right now. He's probably going to be looking at the birds. I have a feeling that he's going to be calling.
I hope so, too. We talked to him yesterday afternoon, and he was waiting for that buck to come into range. Let's see if he got the buck today. We're looking forward to hearing from Mark and from any of you about what you're seeing, whether you're getting your deer, what birds you're looking at, what you're thinking about politics, of course, because we like to talk about politics here. Mm-hmm. Politics and birds and a little bit of poetry is what I like to bring you every time I have the opportunity to guest host, and I'm very grateful always for having that opportunity. I love live radio. I love the mission of Civic Media to bring civil dialogue and pro-democracy radio and local radio across the state of Wisconsin. And so that's what we're trying to do. I should warn you, if you're just getting up, it is a really foggy morning. I'm wondering, Dom, what the fog was like here in downtown Madison when you're coming to work.
Yeah, I know. I always come to work around 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. And I go on John Nolan Drive, and you cannot see anything. You just cannot see. I thought I was going to run off the road, Matt. I honestly did, because it's really hard to see. You know, you can't see anything out there. It's just
right. I mean, once you're in the city itself, it's okay. The main streets are fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I came in from the south myself. I don't go John Nolan anymore because construction there. So I come in on 14 and Park Street. 14, merging from Oregon onto 14 and driving on the country roads to get to 14. It was like driving through a field of cotton candy. I mean, it was so thick out there this morning. So my advice is go slow, be careful, watch for the other driver. Watch the lines. That's how I stayed on the road, just looking at the white lines. But it is very thick out there, thick and foggy. So that's my weather bulletin for you and my safe driving bulletin for you. We've got Mark on the line already. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, doing okay. I haven't headed out just yet, but
yesterday afternoon after I talked to you guys, I saw a brown creeper, which I haven't seen for a few years.
Yeah, I've got a brown creeper at my feeder. Likes the suet. A brown creeper, for those of you who don't know, it's kind of an ugly name. But this is a tiny little brown and white bird that is like a nuthatch, except it climbs up instead of down and backwards. But it's, yeah, it's smaller, even a little smaller than the nuthatch with a tiny little curved bill. Very cute little bird that comes around usually in November and December.
That's one of my favorites. At the other property we had at one time, that I used to have them there, but this property I don't see them very often. So I was pretty pleased because it's one of my little favorites, and also got a little thing of suet to hang up.
They love the suet. But Mark, the big question is, did you get your buck yesterday?
Not yet.
Oh.
And that's okay. I mean, it's the hunting, not the killing. That's makes me happy.
Did you swing and miss, or did you not get a shot off?
No, I haven't seen a buck yet.
All right.
Eight turkeys come in though underneath my stand. That and never used to see those when I grew up north here, and now they're all over the place. That
you know, the turkeys. Mark, I got to Wisconsin about 43 years ago. There were no wild turkeys here, or I never saw a wild turkey here. They got reintroduced by the DNR.
Wow.
And it's just been a tremendous reintroduction of the species. Bird watchers love it. Turkey hunters love it. So, yeah, it's nice to see.
Yeah, you see more turkeys than you do rough grouse, which is kind of sad because rough grouse are tastier than pheasants, I think.
And you hunt rough grouse too?
I have in the past. Haven't got one for a few years, but... I've lived down in southern Wisconsin, so I do mostly pheasant hunting down there. But when I come up here, I try to see if I can flush one up. But now I don't see them very often, but they're around.
And the neat thing about the rough grouse, the noise they make is the flapping of their wings. It's really cool. You think it's something.
You think somebody's trying to start a lawnmower. That's what I used to think when I was growing up north here.
Cranking it up.
Going up trout fishing, and that you thought somebody was trying to get a lawnmower started, because that's what they sound like.
Yeah, they sit on top of a log and flap their wings like crazy and makes a crazy burring sound.
The woodcock, when you can, my ecology teacher back in when I was a junior in high school said, what you can do is, because where I grew up on our property, we had tag holders. And what you can do is you can watch where one takes off. And if you run to where you think it took off, it'll land right because it takes straight up in the air, and then they do a spiral down. And I've had them just land with like feet within feet of me when I've done that.
So the woodcock, for those who don't know, they do this crazy mating, jumping high in the sky and coming swirling down. But it's one of the oddest birds in the bird book. It's a big, fat sandpiper with a gigantic bill, and it looks like it can't. If you look at it, you think this thing can't even fly. It's so fat.
But, and I guess their brains are upside down.
Something very weird. Mark, thanks for the call. If you get that buck, give us a holler. If you see a pileated woodpecker, you got to call in again.
Well, we do have a rough grouse sound.
Yeah, let's play that. There it is, the beating of the wings. Rough grouse. People who go out hunting for rough grouse with their dogs, of course, know that sound. Bird watchers, if you're lucky enough to hear or see a rough grouse, know that familiar sound. But it's nice to share it with you. We've got Matt from Middleton on the line, too. Hey, Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, Matt, how you guys doing?
Doing all right.
So talking about birds, nature in general, I grew up in Miami, Florida in the 80s, and I've noticed over my 49 years of life that we're losing a lot of species of all kinds of animals. Insect numbers have plummeted. I no longer see the garden spiders that I used to like here in Wisconsin. And it's all because of human development, and every time we develop, we lose habitat.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if you think there's any way that Wisconsin can continue to develop, but keep our birds, keep our turkeys, our herons, our cranes. Because I've lived in Texas as well for 10 years, and I came back to Wisconsin, And in Texas, you don't see many wild birds. You don't see a lot of wildlife. There are some city deer that live in Austin that people feed, but that's about all I saw. And I remember missing birds quite a bit.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I saw the turkeys in Middleton when I'm out delivering and stuff, and I really love birds.
Well, Matt, thanks for the calls.
How do we preserve them?
Yeah, really great question, too. So some species have increased here in Wisconsin. The wild turkeys we've been talking about. You mentioned cranes, Matt. The sandhill crane population in Dane County, anyway, has been growing pretty steadily. But some species we've been losing here in Wisconsin, especially grassland birds, meadowlarks, bobolinks, very common when I was growing up, not common hardly at all anymore. And that's in part because of the way farming practices now plow all the way to the road, or they do a first cutting before the nesting has happened. So that's a problem. Then some warbler populations, which are favorites of mine and my brother's, are way down because of deforestation in the wintertime in their winter grounds in Central America and South America. So there's a real problem. Here in Wisconsin, I know the DNR is cognizant of the issue and tries to preserve places for birds that are declining, and then actually works with some groups in Central America like Costa Rica to preserve some land there for the winter migrants going down there. So people have been following this in state government, and conservationists are trying to deal with it, and with some success. But yeah, I hate to see the species decline for sure. So Matt, thanks for the call. If you want to give a holler about your bird question, I'm happy to answer it. You know, politics is a passion, birding's a passion too, so we'll take any calls on either subject. One thing that Dom and I have been doing here at Civic Media is doing a podcast called Wisconsin Forward, mm-hmm. where we've been interviewing all the candidates on the Democratic side, and I will make invitations on the Republican side after the holiday, and just sitting the candidates down for a half-hour discussion, and to not be an inquisitor, really, make it a wide open, kind of an easy conversation, asking them the obvious question, why are you running? And, you know, and then we let them sound off. So the last time I was on last week, we played several snippets. After the break here, we're going to play a couple more snippets. But we have all the candidates on the Democratic side parade through the studio here at WMDX Civic Media, and they sat down with me for a casual conversation, and Dom was in the booth recording. We had a great time meeting all of them, and we did snippets of most of them last time I was on. We're going to do State Senator Kelda Royce, mm-hmm. and then Brett Halsey and Ryan Sternad.
It felt surreal. It really felt surreal, well, seeing everyone come in each day. It was crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, I was surprised that it was so easy to get them. I mean, maybe it was a slow time for the campaign, but all I had to do was call up, really, or Facebook message a couple of the candidates or talk to their aides if I didn't know the candidates ahead of time. Fortunately, I knew some of them, and so it was easier to get them. But, yeah, we were lucky to get them all. Come right through here, sit down next to me at the mic, and just talk for a half hour. So if you want to go to the Wisconsin Forward podcast at civicmedia.us, feel free to listen to those podcasts, as many as you want, a candidate of your choice. See who you think is your favorite candidate. I'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 608-879-8255. I'm Matt Rothschild, sitting in here for John and Gordy on the John and Gordy in the Morning Show, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The action is, oh, where the action is.
Where the action is this morning. I'm Matt Rothschild, 7 in here for John and Gordy in the morning on WMDX, inviting you to join the conversation by calling 608-879-8255. That's 879-8255. We're talking birds. We're talking politics. If you want to call in with your bird sightings, feel free. But right now, I wanted to, as I promised before the break, give you a sample of some of the candidates who are running for governor, the ones we didn't get to last week, Dom. So let's start off with State Senator Kelda Royce.
If you look at corruption alone, just the scale of it is staggering. We have never, ever had corruption on this scale before. I mean, it's the private jet, it's the memes, and you know, the crypto scams. It is very easy to turn away because it's difficult. It's painful to watch the news and think about what's happening in this country. But one reason that I think Democrats are struggling in general with our approval ratings is because too few of us are willing to stand up and fight. And this is a differentiator in this gubernatorial primary. I mean, obviously, I think all of us oppose Trump and are appalled, but I'm speaking out about it consistently because I think it is essential for Democrats to be clear-eyed and clear-voiced about what is happening.
That was Kelda Royce on why she's running and trying to differentiate herself from other candidates. Let's just run through them, and then we'll talk.
All right. Let's do
it. So the next one is, let's listen to Brett Hulsey. Brett Hulsey used to be on the Dane County Board and then was a state rep for a little bit, ran for governor a while back, was running again.
Well, what I have done is I bought 9 years ago, I think, I bought Ray Peterson. You remember he was the infamous landlord who had $1.2 million in code violations. I bought the last house from him as an 1849 house on Milwaukee Street. And I fixed that up. It took me 3 years to get it up to code, but I grew up working on farms. I'm a contractor, carpenter. And I kept the, there was a blind lady and her caregiver in the first place. I had to increase her rent a little bit, but I provided, and then I did Section 8 affordable housing upstairs. If I had had that place now, I could put five homeless veterans in there upstairs. It was a four bedroom. I could get $700 a month from them. So I would be making, as a landlord, $3,500 a month, as opposed to the $2,400 I was making just renting at fair market value. So again, I'm talking to landlords out there. Guys, we have a way we can make more money and have a sustainable program that's, you know, we it's hard when they shut the government down, but, you know, when I'm a governor, of course, that's not going to happen in Wisconsin.
That was Brett Hulsey talking about what he'd do about the housing issue. And then the last candidate is Ryan Sternad. You may have heard Ryan Sternad's commercials here on Civic Media. Let's hear what he had to say when I was talking with him.
Well, it's that. I picture myself as a one of us candidate. That's kind of an unofficial slogan of mine, where I can naturally say that I know what it's like to have working class experience and to govern as if I were in the regular voting citizen's shoes. As far as my experience, true, I don't have elected experience, but I have some lobbying experience. I have some negotiation experience. And I have some resiliency experience too, which I feel I can stand up to whoever it is and stand my ground if need be. And if we have hurt feelings, so be it. I'd love to work with people, you know, and maybe have to go as far as vetoing an entire budget if we want to get something done. So I would have the goal and the willpower to want to do that if possible.
So that was Ryan Sternad. Now you can listen to all these candidates, about a half hour each one. A couple were a little short. Brett Hulsey's ran a little long. Mm-hmm. Kelda Royce ran a little long too. But you find them at civicmedia.us. You can click on the bar shows, or you could just go to Wisconsin Forward Podcast and my name, Matt Rothschild, and in your search engine, and you can find the podcasts, and then you can just look at each one that you want to listen to. But Dom, I wanted to get your opinion. You heard all the candidates. What was your reaction to this parade?
Yeah, I thought they were all good. I thought they were all, you know, some interesting, but Kelda Royce, I really liked how well-spoken she was. Very, very well-spoken candidate, and she impressed me. She impressed me a lot, and even Brett and Ryan, they were very, you know, they were well-spoken, and they had their beliefs, and I appreciate them for speaking on things that some people don't like to talk about. So I appreciated all candidates, and I thought it was a great experience being a part of it. And I want to thank you, Matt, for allowing me to be seeing all those candidates walk in. I thought it was a crazy experience and probably something that I won't get to do often.
Well, I hope they make themselves available to civic media hosts and right. Other media personalities. Otherwise, we just get to see these people in 30-second commercials.
That's it.
And that's not a good way to see them. I hope there are televised debates, too. I mean, when Governor Evers ran the first time, I couldn't see the debates on TV. I had to get them online, which was kind of a crazy way. It used to be that debates were really important. And now it seems the only thing that's important is how much money you can raise and how clever are your advertisements. But, you know, I thought the five leading candidates all represented themselves really well. Right. Kel DeRoyce, you mentioned, Sarah Rodriguez was good. David Crawley was really good. Francesca Hong was terrific, sitting right next to me, almost whispering into the mic, which is interesting if you listen to it because her voice is so much softer than everyone else's.
Made you want to lean into your chair a little bit more, right?
Yeah, it made it kind of fascinating, actually. And Missy Hughes, who I'd never met before, who was head of economic development for Evers, presented really well, too. So I just want to encourage people to go to the Wisconsin Forward podcast. Put my name in, Matt Rothschild, and you'll get to listen to the candidates yourselves. Come up with your own decision as to which candidate you like, and then give us a call, 608-879-8255. I'm sitting in for John and Gordy in the morning. They'll be back this afternoon, and they'll be back tomorrow morning here on WMDX, and we'll be right back with Deborah Kronmiller of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters.
Take this crazy pad, man. It's a mad pad.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for John and Gordy in the morning. The guys are going to be back this afternoon from 2 to 5. They've been doing double duty. Don't blame them for taking this morning off. And they'll be back tomorrow morning, too. You can join our conversation here. We're talking about politics, birds. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. The phone number is 608-879-8255 here on WMDX on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm delighted to be joined right now in the studio by an old friend of mine, Deborah Kronmiller. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. How are you doing this morning, Deborah?
I am great. Thanks so much for having me, Matt.
Well, it's great to see you, and thanks for answering the bell here, because I always like getting friends on the show. It makes it more fun for me and easier, too. Now, I know there were several bills related to voting and elections that the legislature was considering here at the state capitol over the last couple of weeks. Do you want to talk about one or two of those?
Sure. We were watching with great interest. You know, every time these bills come up, what it means in Wisconsin, because we have such a decentralized election system, is 1,852 clerks have to learn how to do elections again. And the League has always played a very fundamental role in helping our clerks know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. But for the legislature, I saw the bills as being, we'll give everybody benefit of the doubt that it was a suite of bills to try to enhance the integrity of our elections. But at the end of the day, I still think it came down to a lot of politics. And some of the things that we thought would be really helpful for clerks, like Monday processing, got thrown to the side at the very end.
Now, Monday processing means the processing of absentee ballots that have been coming in and allowing the clerks to count those before Election Day. That would speed the process up, give us results faster.
Timely. And Representative Krug, numerous times I heard him say that it was something he had heard from constituents, that constituents want to know the results of the election before they go to bed on election night. And in Wisconsin, without Monday processing, you know, we have Milwaukee is a central count community. There are 38 communities that do central count. And that's a lot of absentee ballots in one community. So for Milwaukee to count all those absentee ballots, get the results to the county clerk to get them, you know, pre-certified or whatever they call that, that's hours and hours and hours of work after the 8 o'clock close. And so you're not going to have the results at 10 o'clock at night. You're going to have the results at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. And then you get that backstory of, oh, you know, I went to bed and who so-and-so was winning, and then I woke up and the other guy was winning, and it's because there was a ballot dump in the middle of the night. It's like, no, just the results from the absentee count came in. So,
I know, but people like Trump or Ron Johnson, they love to say that yes, something mysterious happened, or any Republican running for conservative running for Supreme Court. Oh my God, this dump happened, but it just happened that, you know, they'd count those starting at 8 o'clock. And there's a pile of them. So,
they do count through the day, but in a city like Milwaukee, with, you know, hundreds of thousands of ballots, absentee ballots to count, just to slice open all the envelopes, to fold, flatten them out, make sure they can go through the tabulator, have enough manpower to do all of that, it just takes hours and hours. And we've talked to Helena Gutierrez numerous times just about the timeline and the number of hours she needs in order to get the processing done. And it's not a dump at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's as fast as she can get it done. So,
and she's the clerk in Milwaukee County?
Correct.
Yeah. And I thought this might have gone through because I know there were some Republican legislators, as you mentioned, who were saying, you know, this is something we should do.
Yes. Yeah, I think there were a number who were really talking it up as a way to really help voters, give them more information quicker, which is what, you know, Representative Krug was saying. That's what he was hearing from his constituents. We hear it. It would stop the backstory, the unfortunate backstory, that there's something wrong happening. But now it's going to be business as usual.
So why didn't that go through?
Who knows? Probably many reasons. I don't know if there were, negotiations that were happening, or if at the end of the day, the body as a whole didn't really feel that that was an important piece of legislation to pass.
Cynical old me thinks they still think it's a handy propaganda ploy every election that they lose. So now, in the backstory, the politics of this also feeds, this idea, this misconception that there's widespread fraud going on.
Right.
And study after study has shown that that's just not true, right?
That's correct. And in fact, this week, we saw that the clerk submitted all the potential fraud ballots that, you know, they have. This is just the regular process. In Wisconsin, I believe my number is correct, there were 46 potential fraudulent votes cast.
Out of how many, though?
3.4 million.
Yeah.
So
I don't have my calculator here, but that's a very...
That's a lot of zeros. Yes, exactly. But the reality is most of those were... You hate to say there's legitimate fraud, but, you know, sometimes a person gets an absentee ballot, they cast it, and then they walk into the poll on election day, but their ballot just arrived that day. So all the checks and balances at the polls weren't, you know, couldn't be executed, so they were able to vote two ballots. Sometimes we have individuals who are recently released from incarceration. They have not completed their full sentence, so their voting rights have not been reinstated. But some well-intended person at DOC said, you're free, you're good to go, everything normal. Not.
I think they should be reinstated as soon as you get out of the prison gates, but that's a whole nother issue.
We've been advocating for that as well. So.
Speaking with Deborah Cronmiller, she's the executive director at the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Another thing you've been working on steadily over the years is redistricting, ending gerrymandering.
Yes.
And are you still head of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
I am.
Oh, there's another hat. So talk to me about where things stand in the effort to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin.
Sure. We have been working diligently since the new fairer maps were signed into law by the governor on February 19th of 24, the Fair Maps Coalition and our ad hoc redistricting work group pivoted at that time, because then we had the maps we wanted, frankly, but we pivoted to a new job, and that new job was to create a truly independent process for redistricting Wisconsin away from the legislature that we know is a political body. And so we have been working for 2 years now to actually craft a piece of draft legislation that we could submit to the legislature that would give us an independent redistricting commission made up of regular citizens. And that commission would have the authority to work with communities, to hear from individual citizens, what do they want in the way of a map for their community, and then to draft those maps, present them ultimately to the legislature, because in the Constitution, the legislature is the body that has to enact the map, and we are very close to the finish line. Here it is, 2 years hence, and we have the legislation is drafted. We actually have submitted it to all of the legislators, senators, assembly people, and it has been submitted to the LRB, the Legislative Reference Bureau, the folks that draft bills in the state of Wisconsin, and they are taking our draft legislation and actually making it into a Wisconsin bill.
Now, this should be a bipartisan issue because a vast majority of Wisconsinites want to ban gerrymandering. Do you have some bipartisan legislative support on this yet?
We believe we do. And we completely agree with your assessment. I mean, 82% of Wisconsinites want to end gerrymandering. They recognize that gerrymandering is a way to, you know, keep certain people in their political seats, retain power in a party or, caucus or whatever we want to call that. But the reality is that when we are gerrymandered, as we have been for the last decade and a half, the citizens of Wisconsin do not get what they want. We wanted Medicaid expansion. For 15 years, we have not seen one expansion bill. You know, people want more energy solutions. We want maps not to be gerrymandered. Not any of these bills are making it to the floor because of the gerrymandering.
Yeah, people aren't getting what the people want.
That's correct.
That shouldn't happen in a democracy. We should get what we want.
Absolutely.
Democracy.
And I think that people understand that. You know, we've spent a lot of time, we, the League, the Fair Maps Coalition, our partners in the voting rights space, talking about what it is that citizens want in Wisconsin and why we're not getting it. And we're not getting it because our elected officials, who have drawn themselves into very safe, very secure districts, don't have to listen to their constituents. They're more beholden to money, to power, to the political party heads, and that's not representative government. And that's why the League has been, a leader in really trying to undermine gerrymandering.
I mean, it is crazy when 80% of Wisconsinites want to expand Medicaid coverage, and they just blocked expansion for new moms, where we in Arkansas are the only two states that
yep.
don't give extended Medicaid for new mothers in this state. It's just crazy. Or, you know, medical marijuana, recreational marijuana,
yep.
raising the minimum wage, more money for schools.
Gun safety.
You
know, I mean,
yeah.
87%
common sense
of people
gun laws.
Want that. And not even a bill, not even something yeah. to talk about on the floor.
This is the result of gerrymandering, money in politics. The way the leaders of the legislature run their show.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. On the gerrymandering issue, where was the League of Women Voters on what happened in California when Newsom brought through this new gerrymandering
yeah.
over there?
Yeah, well, in general, I'm not, the League is not one to suggest that we should gerrymander to give somebody an advantage or somebody a disadvantage. I was appalled when the president called for what happened in Texas, you know, give me five more seats. And because it doesn't ever occur to me as a person who's just devoted to our democracy that you would manipulate the system in that way. Did California respond appropriately? You know, it's a question that's hard for me to answer. I never thought I'd have to even contemplate the question. And but at the end of the day, I think what we're seeing is states that can change their seat makeup. Some are saying, okay, let's do it. Some are saying, no, that's just wrong. We shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, and even Indiana backed off recently, yep, which was good to see.
Yeah, and I think that the more we talk about the underlying issue, which is where's the power? The power is with the people and their vote. It is not with the money. It is not with the politicians. It is with the people.
Yeah, and if I'm a Republican in California, I'm not happy that my voice was taken away.
That's correct.
So, I was against that, though. I know I was a minority voice among some of my friends on the Democratic and progressive side. Deborah Kronmiller, Executive Director of Wisconsin League of Women Voters, great to see you. Great having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Let's do it again soon, and we'll be right back. We've got Jim Santel coming up right after the hour, and we have Lisa Bernard of the Humane Society coming right up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's foggy in Madtown right now, so be careful on your commute. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for John and Gordy on the John and Gordy in the Morning Show. The guys will be back this afternoon from 2 to 5, and they'll be back tomorrow morning, too. They're really working double shifts over here at Civic Media.
Taking a quick nap, you know.
But I'm delighted to be with you. The phone number to call to join the conversation, 608-879-8255. We're talking politics. We are talking birds. We got a text from Tom who said, the cold weather is here. I know this because the junco is back and the cranes are heading south. The junco is a little black and white bird that you'll see under your bird feeders. And it's a sign of winter when they come down from Canada. Now I'm delighted to be joined by Lisa Bernard. She's the Development and Communications Supervisor over at the Dane County Humane Society. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you. So I know you've been on the show before, but I was looking at your bio. I see you are an old journalist, as I am, and I wondered what your journalism career was like and why you moved over to the Humane Society.
Oh, so I don't know. I just like to do research, and I was very curious, and one of my teachers told me that she thought I'd be a good journalist based on a paper I wrote that compared two professions that had nothing to do with journalism. It was to be a doctor or a lawyer. And she's like, you know, this is so well written and researched, you should really check out journalism. And I did, and I really enjoyed it. And so I ended up going to college for it. I was on the school paper all 4 years, and I was editor-in-chief for three of those years. And then I also got into trouble a little bit because, you know, reporting on some things at the college level, and then you're talking about things that they don't want you to talk about. So then it's like you get called to the dean's office.
Oh, that's the fun part about college journalism.
But I worked. My first job was out in Sun Prairie at the Star. I was their associate editor, and then I went to Chicago for 10 more years.
Wow.
12. Yeah. So I was at City News Service covering police and then federal court, and then I worked for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Wow, that's a great career. And then you came over to the Humane Society.
I did. I wanted a change.
Well, I don't blame you. And when you come on the show, you like to talk about a few of your favorite pets that you have there that you want people to adopt, right?
I do. And I have to tell you, it was a real hard choice because there are so many great animals who are waiting to find families right now. It was really hard to just pick three.
Well, why don't you talk about the three you picked?
So we've got Onyx, who is a black Labrador retriever mix. He's about 5 years old, about 100 pounds, so big boy. He was surrendered to DCHS earlier this month because his family is facing some medical issues. He's very friendly. He can get a little jumpy because he gets excited, but he walks pretty well on leash. At times he gets a little excited and will pull a little bit towards something, but he enjoys receiving pets. He really loves those belly rubs and ear rubs, loves to just hang out with you.
And how old is he?
He's about 5 years old.
Okay.
So he's looking for a home where he can be the only pet because he wants to keep all of his treats, his toys, and his and the love of his family all to himself. He's hoping to find a family who's going to be his best friend because he's sure to become yours. And he's going to spoil, he's hoping they'll spoil him with lots of adventures, treats, and of course, love.
So if you like black labs, he's for you.
He's wonderful. He really is. And he's a member of our Lonely Hearts Club because he's been with us for a bit. So his adoption fee has been reduced.
Okay. And who else do you have for us?
I have Addie. Addie is a beautiful orange and brown Torby. Wow. Oh, she's gorgeous. She's 16 years old and about 12 pounds. So she's our senior friend. She was surrendered earlier this month. Unfortunately, her family is moving and they can't take her with. But she's beautiful on the inside and out. She's very friendly and sweet. She'll approach you when you talk gently with her. She just loves receiving pets and attention. And she even enjoys a few brushings. She's looking for a more quiet retirement home where she can be spoiled by her family with lots of companionship, pets, and love.
And your third pet for us?
Oreo.
Oh, beautiful green eyes. Green, yellow eyes.
Yeah, so Oreo, he's an adult black cat. He's about 8 pounds, so a bit smaller. He was found in Sun Prairie last month. He did find a home, was adopted, but things didn't work out. So now we're going to help him find a new home. Oreo is friendly, but he can also be independent. So when he wants certain attention, he'll come get it. He enjoys playing with toys. He also likes receiving pets and being held sometimes like a little baby. he has lived with another cat and dog as well as kids, and he did well living with them. He's looking for a home with a family who's going to spoil him with playtime and snuggles.
Lisa, if people want to come take a look, what is the address of Dane County Humane Society?
It's at 5132 Voges Road, and our adoption center is open today, Tuesday, from 2 to 7 p.m. So today is actually the last day until the holiday that you can adopt, because we're closed on Wednesdays, and we're going to be closed on Thursday for Thanksgiving.
And are you open on Saturdays?
Yes, we're also going to be open on Friday, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, so there's plenty of time for you to go take a look at the pets at the Dane County Humane Society.
Yes.
Lisa Bernard, thanks so much for being my guest on the John and Gordy Show. It's been fun for me to meet you and to hear a little bit about your story. And I'll be right back after the break with Jim Santel.
If dogs run free, then what must be? Must be, and that is all. True love can make a blade of grass.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.